All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Podzilla 1985. We are covering the results of WWE Extreme Rules. That was an extreme slip up right there.
We just started.
And we're already slipping up. I do want to point out, we talked about this before we started the show. Unfortunately, over the weekend, there were some issues, and we did release Zach Price from the show. Unfortunately, he's still here.
Hello, bitches. You're welcome. Yeah. My fans don't want me to leave.
Yeah. Well, Kaylee's sitting over there. She looks really disappointed.
That's because she's here with you.
Oh, snap.
Oh. Asa, you were wanting that job, though, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of upset that I was told that, you know, after sitting in and on all of these podcasts and not having a working mic, so you don't hear any of the gold that I get to say, you're like, oh, Zach's gone, so, you know, you finally get a spot, and...
Well, to be fair, after the last show you did speak, you're just lucky you're not banned like John Massey.
I didn't say anything.
You were thinking it.
That was a horrible, horrible show.
That was not a bad show.
Yes,
it was a funny show.
It was a funny show for bad
It just
bad
deteriorated
people.
Because we were all very tired.
It deteriorated very quickly once we started.
Yeah, well, anyway.
This one's going to be focused. It's going to be like a laser. There's not going to be any just...
Like this dick? No.
You know he got it. You know he's got to do it.
I mean, my God, we're a minute into the show. We're already talking about dicks.
Record.
All right. So Extreme Rules just wrapped up. We're talking about it. Overall, what do you guys think? How was the show?
It had high points, but a lot more low points.
Had a lot of low points.
I really liked it. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was just because it's like I always end up thinking shows are better when it's like the group of us.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really anything that stood out as particularly bad.
Watching the show with you. And seeing how angry you get.
With just Asa? Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it just makes me believe when he says, I liked it. I don't think that was accurate, because I saw how you reacted to the show. You didn't seem happy at the time.
The majority of the things that got me angry, though, was the things you were saying, though. It wasn't necessarily... Well, and I'm pretending the Cena match just... Because you're sitting in front of him from where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
So I'm pointing at him.
He's pointing at me. No one would point at you, believe me, for anything. Other than who said that dumb thing, and then... There's you. We're 2 minutes into this. I haven't even introduced anybody. With me today, covering Extreme Rules, Zach Price, of course, who we didn't actually fire. But
yes, thank you.
God damn, every day I wish I could. If I paid him, I would fire him. Next to Zach.
Oh, he's not getting paid? This is awkward.
Oh, shit. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Next to him, Asa Gray.
Hello.
Who's making his second appearance. I don't care what he says. Second? Second.
Yeah. Second that you've given me a microphone.
Well,
a working microphone.
A working microphone.
Well, you're still on Pen and Nerd, right? Are you still doing Pen and Nerd?
I did the one, but like they've pretty much given me an open invitation. But most of the time I have to work
at the Crab Factory.
At the Crab Factory.
Yeah. Next to him, Jordan Lowry. Jordan, thank you for appearing once again. You're not on here enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I also want to point out that Zach, Asa, and Jordan are all wearing CM Punk shirts.
Fuck. Which I didn't actually hear that many chants.
Chicago.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
Well, the pre-show, there was a pretty big one.
Yeah, but that's the pre-show. Once it actually got to the show, I only heard it a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hardcore.
And of course, the man no one chants for, Tanner Calvert.
Aw.
Wow.
Who couldn't be here for Tanner Thursday, so we didn't have a show.
Wow, dude.
Well, he fucked me. You fucked me hard.
Is that why you didn't have a show?
We didn't have a show.
That's why you guys were...
You got tired?
I got fucked too hard.
I can't even make a comment on it.
Well, this, male sex aside.
This show just went south.
Just like us.
Just another episode I can't tell my friends about.
All right, who wants to drop the first N-bomb?
Nobody.
Nobody. Okay, no takers. Well, I'm going to drop the first N-bomb.
Oh,
Neville.
Please don't.
Neville.
I have literally forgotten his first name now.
It is Adrian.
It is Adrian.
Well, they replaced Adrian with... The man gravity forgot, the new sensation, Neville.
He just changed his last name.
Did they really do that?
That's what he was introduced as.
Well, Neville. Long introduction.
Yes.
Well, they gotta cut out one.
So you gotta get rid
of the first one.
I think all wrestlers in WWE should lose their first name. It should be Cena versus, well fuck it is that, isn't it?
It is pretty much, yeah, Cena versus Orton.
Cena versus Orton, Cena versus Rusev.
Except they dropped Triple from Triple H.
It's just H.
H.
I was
Speaking
about to
of
say,
H's,
like,
I wish Double H was here.
Shout out.
Moment of silence.
Not listening to this. He's got better things to do. What did he say? He was going to watch
Game of Thrones and Mad Men.
Game of Thrones and Mad Men. So, yeah.
But he did say he was going to have Extreme Rules on. Like,
he said maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, I meant to text him and ask him what he thought of it. I might check my phone. He might be on there.
He was watching it because I remember Zach posted something on Facebook and he commented about what happened.
Really?
Like, so he was watching.
That's because I was complaining about how they make fun of me on every fucking show. But then Asa Gray comes and says the exact same damn thing I did, and they put him on a fucking pedestal. Oh, Gaysa Gray, you so great.
Gaysa Gray, you so... Why'd you have to do the fucking racist Chinaman voice?
Because you guys are all assholes.
Oh, my God. Let's get back to this. Neville versus Barrett. This pretty much confirmed what we said on the podcast.
Fuck this.
The podcast with Hunter. Daniel Bryan did not appear. Yeah. Daniel Bryan's career is now over.
No.
I don't know if it's that far. I mean,
is it over? Is it just another, like, he's sitting at home waiting, getting paid, waiting?
Well, they're going to strip him of the title before too long. You know what's going to happen.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he won't. There will probably be a, either if he's not able to compete at Payback, they'll probably do a match to name a new champion.
Right. Maybe the King of the Ring tournament.
I would love that. Oh, I would love that.
To crown a new champion.
Isn't that Tuesday?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll come out and say, you know what, this was for King of the Ring, now it's for the IC title. Who cares?
Both.
But with Daniel Bryan not being there, that gave a chance for Adrian Neville to shine, and he did.
Which is good.
I didn't get to see this match. Zach, me and you, we went to go get pizza from Casey's Pizza.
Which was probably my favorite part of the whole night.
Casey's Pizza, if you're listening, we give do us accept free pizzas.
And we'll take you as a sponsor, too.
Yeah, we'll take anything you want to give us.
Just pizza.
Nah. So we didn't get to see the match. You guys saw the match. You said it was a good match.
It was. Yeah,
it
was.
I saw the ending.
It was ratings. Pretty. It did. Very. It was a good, like, it was a good story of Neville being the high flyer, Barrett trying to keep him grounded, and then the ending sequence, which they showed the replay of.
Yeah, and it looked really good.
It was really high pitched.
That's just awesome.
What, Neville?
The red arrow.
Yeah, the red arrow. Yeah. I love that.
That's an impressive move. But like I said, it's one of those moves that it looks so good, but it makes you suspend your belief in wrestling. Because it's like, okay, he does this great flip off the top rope. It looks really cool. But he could just jump off the top rope and get the same effect. Although, Asa, as you pointed out, the twists actually give him more momentum, which
and
somehow...
The kayfabe reason, like the wrestling logic reason of it. Not that I actually think that, no, you paint the flames on your car and it goes faster. I don't actually think that at that, but it's, you know... All of the movement creates momentum that he's hitting his opponent with.
Jordan's dying.
I'm dying.
Yeah.
It's not a show with me unless somebody dies on the
show. Lindsay almost died in the last one, right?
Yeah, that was bad.
Like, that was funny. Lindsay, if you're listening to
my fiance almost died. It was hilarious.
Whoa, don't say she's my fiance. Dude, you know how much tail I'm going to get doing this show?
Your fucking relationship changes every fucking show. One day it's girlfriend, wife, fiance, and then one day you don't know.
I have bad memory.
You got bad everything, apparently.
I have bad everything. Yeah.
I was like, "Oh God, did I just spoil his? Did I just spoil his proposal?" Oh, whoops.
Not a lot to say about this match. Good match. Neville won. I think we gave it 3.5 stars. Even though we didn't get to see it, we took everybody's word. And that's actually probably, I think that's like every match almost is in the 2 to 3.5 range. Yeah. There was nothing outstanding about this show at all.
Disagree.
Which one did you like?
You know exactly which one I liked.
Well, inform us.
You.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. No, not yet. Don't spoil that one. Ambrose versus Harper. Again, nothing really to say. They kind of fought.
An hour-long match.
Technically an hour-long match. They disappeared halfway through the match, came back covered in KFC grease.
In the 59th minute.
I'm just amazed they were able to drive all that way while beating each other up.
I'd like to point out.
Like, texting and driving is incredibly dangerous, but they're able to... I'm just imagining that Luke Harper kicked out of his finisher at least once in the backseat.
I would like to point out, when they left, Harper was in the driver's seat.
And Ambrose
and came
back.
And when they come back, Harper gets thrown out of the backseat on the passenger side.
Yeah. I also want to point out that this maybe ties back to our police show episode where if it had been New Day brawling in the car, they would have been shot.
Oh.
They would have been shot dead. By the police.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
Bring it down.
What a way to be a dick.
Fuck. I'm sorry for saying what we're all thinking.
No one was thinking that.
Everyone's thinking it.
I mean, I kind of followed earlier with the Ferguson thing.
Yeah, we talked. What?
Don't even.
The things that.
You guys are going to end up blaming this on me. Just because it's like, oh, it's twice in a row, Ace is on.
Every time Ace is on the show, it's like the Klan rally's happening right outside.
God damn it, man. Whoa.
Well, Dean Ambrose won that match.
Eventually.
Sort of, yeah.
Don't spoil that, because that was later in the show.
You thought it was going to be the show stealer.
I thought this was going to be the match of the show. I thought this was going to make the show, and it really didn't.
I feel like we should say they got in the car and left, and then continue on, and they come back to it later.
Yeah, I think they skipped, what, two matches? Yeah, because they did Ziggler versus Sheamus, and then New Day versus Tysaro, is what I call them now.
How much actual live wrestling was in that? Because they wrestled, then they did that video package in the back.
I think there was probably 20 minutes bell to bell.
I don't know.
of, or not 20 minutes bell to bell, but 20 minutes of them actually doing it. It was disappointing though.
Yeah.
Even like, oh, it's a Chicago street fight. They never actually fought in the streets of Chicago. And they didn't really use, I mean, they kind of used a couple weapons. I don't know. It was just boring. It was just boring. Like, I didn't.
It wasn't the street fights I remember when I was younger.
No, I mean, one thing is that, like, whenever someone would come out for a street fight, they come out in their street clothes. You knew they were going to fight. But this is what they always wear to the ring. They should have actually come out in wrestling tights just to confuse everybody and make it, you know.
Oh, shit. This is real.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And maybe I just missed, like, in the actual buildup, but to me, it just seemed like it was 3 weeks of them just attacking each other blindly. But then on the pre-show, Dean Ambrose came out and, like, got on the actual, like, panel's table and stood there and cut a promo and said, I remember WrestleMania when he powerbombed me through the ladder and cost me the the ladder match.
Build up, yeah.
Which, I feel, did they mention that at all in the actual build?
I don't even remember the build, to be honest with you.
I just remember them brawling around back. I just remember them brawling around backstage. I don't remember them actually saying, like, Dean Ambrose, like, no, you cost me the Intercontinental title.
Well, they didn't really talk too much about it. They didn't talk too much about it, but, like, just the replays and everything they were doing to build up to the match.
But they at least brought it up.
Yeah, it was brought up every Monday.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I guess it's just because we've seen, because we've seen Shield and the Wyatt family fight so many times now. Remember the first time they got in the ring together?
And it was just a This Is Awesome chant
before
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, and before they even started fighting, crowds chanting This Is Awesome. Mm-hmm. And now it's so overdone.
Yeah.
So I don't really care about Ambrose and Harper, which makes me sad because they're two of my favorite guys. But Ambrose wins via the new Dirty Deeds, which is the exact same name as his old finisher, but it's different.
But it's been that way for weeks now. He only used that forward bulldog.
The forward bulldog DDT. I love that move, but I guess that is a dangerous looking move. Because if you screw that up and you go head first into the ground like that, you could probably hurt yourself pretty bad. I mean, if they're going to ban the RKO, no, one of the
curb
stomp. If they're going to get rid of the curb stomp, I could see them getting rid of that. Moving on to Ziggler versus Sheamus. I have a little note here below it that just says, are you not entertained? Because I thought.
Yeah, because Sheamus, apparently that's Sheamus's new catchphrase.
Because he's the Roman Gladiator.
He only said it the one time tonight, but he said it just about every time I've seen him wrestle since he came back. I think I've seen him say that.
I've seen him. He said fella a couple times.
This is the first time I've heard him say it.
Well, it's a good, I mean, you could put that on a t-shirt easily. I think they did when Gladiator came out, probably. Yeah, so it's a good catchphrase, better than fella.
Well, he's really toned down the fella. Like, he's not yelling it at his entrance anymore. It's like I saw what it was earlier, and I can't remember, but it's some, like, Irish war chant. Or, like, war
which
cry.
Which you made fun of me then, and basically said I wasn't Irish. Which now I have to serve my papers to you to show, to prove that I have Irish blood in me.
You do.
God, my name is Shannon.
I want to see your long form birth certificate.
The fuck does that have to do with
Shannon
the
Shannon is an
name.
Irish name.
Shannon.
Zach.
Shannon is also a girl's name.
Well, we'll talk about that later. Ziggler versus Sheamus was the first match that actually had any value to it, in my opinion, like from a storyline standpoint. Because remember, at this point, Ambrose and Harper had actually disappeared because they were fighting in a car down on the freeway.
Right.
You know.
Whereas we said, they went to the KFC to get some more grease.
To get more grease for Luke
Harper.
And Ambrose was cutting promos on French fries in the back or something.
Trying to pick a fight with the fryer.
Yeah, and I'm honestly surprised he didn't somehow knock himself out because
didn't they drive to CM Punk's house? I think they stopped at the CM Punk's apartment, watched the pay-per-view.
They watched the Ziggler-Sheamus match.
I'm pretty sure if they stopped at CM Punk's apartment, he wouldn't let him in because he doesn't associate with that anymore.
Probably true.
Yeah, he's too good for that now. He doesn't want to wrestle anymore. We'll do a show someday about how bad CM Punk sucks. Don't worry, it's coming.
I will be on it.
I don't think – I think our ratings just spiked.
Because of me.
Oh, Zach.
And Zach's checked out. I'm like, no.
Zach's checking his phone now.
My feelings are hurt.
Zach, come back. Come back to us, baby.
All right, I'm back.
All right, good. Ziggler and Sheamus, it was a good match. And
I predicted it.
You did. You called it. Because we all thought there's no way in hell Sheamus is going to lose this match coming back red hot.
I heard a lot of people call that match before the match tonight.
Well,
I mean,
Zach did it first. Zach did it first. But the whole show, every single match, we all predicted the outcome before, like 5 minutes into the match. We always every match we knew what was going to happen. There were no surprises.
But two matches ended up in a roll up.
Two
back to back,
which is a shame.
Which was the Ziggler,
and then we'll hold off. We'll talk about the New Day. Thing, yeah.
I think you just did by saying their name.
But Ziggler and Sheamus. I don't think it was booked very well. I don't think Sheamus should have looked as weak as he did. I understand you said that's his gimmick pretty much, that he's a bully, so he doesn't need to come off strong. But they've always booked Sheamus as this unstoppable monster. Now he's a bully.
And it's almost like they've changed his character. So they're changing the way that they present him.
But he's still the same guy, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if Brock Lesnar went back and came back with a new gimmick, he's still Brock Lesnar. He's still a fucking mountain of muscle.
Is Kane still Isaac Yankum?
And when Rocky Maivia...
That is completely different.
So like Bray Wyatt... Completely different. So Bray Wyatt is... Why isn't he acting like Husky Harris did? It's the same guy.
Is it the same name? Is it the exact same character?
What about Curtis Axel, Michael McGillicuddy?
Sheamus now is the exact same Sheamus that was a couple years ago. He's the same guy, same name, same look. Suddenly he's weaker and can't fight as well.
Same look?
Corporate Kane?
Well, because he changes his hair doesn't mean that he's different.
His hair, his beard, his trunks, his entrance, his music.
If I showed a picture of this Sheamus to somebody who hasn't seen Sheamus in a while, they wouldn't know that was Sheamus.
So if you showed a picture of Rocky Maivia.
Oh, burn! Rocky Maivia was an evolution to The Rock. They're not two different characters. The Rock came from Rocky Maivia. Sheamus, the new Sheamus, comes from the old Sheamus. They're the same character. Bray Wyatt and Husky Harris are completely different characters.
But it's the same guy.
The bad John Cena and the face John Cena.
Oh, my God.
They're the same person. Let me school you bitches real quick.
Dr. Thugonomics John Cena versus the Marine John Cena.
I hope
it's the same guy.
I hope the people that are listening to this are grasping the logic that I'm using versus everybody ganging up on me here.
It's just me and Asa.
I'm about to say I'm totally on your side here.
Thank you.
You all could suck a fat dick.
Don't resort to those kind of tactics because it totally devalues an argument. We are not.
Yeah, look who you got on your side.
I'm getting political.
Motherfucker.
Your argument is thrown out the window because of that.
All right, well, arguments aside, we'll settle that some other day because I don't want to spend 5 minutes on here just yelling back and forth.
Because you know you'll lose.
All right, let's keep yelling. Sheamus is the exact same Sheamus as before. Same name, same general look. He's still Sheamus.
So was WCW Goldberg, WWE Goldberg?
The same guy.
Okay, well, hang on.
Same name.
So, okay, I'm going to use Sheamus as an example.
Okay.
Sheamus, before he got hurt, when he was stealing ADR, Alberto Del Rio's car and just happy, yeah, I love to fight, fella. Is that the same Sheamus as when he debuted on ECW and was pretty much just a less, like, I guess, badass version of this Sheamus? Because he was a heel, but he was still kind of, he beat John Cena in that tables match.
Right.
To win the WWE Championship. Ever since he did that, he was presented as kind of the cowardly... He was a cowardly heel.
Well, he was a cowardly heel.
He'd been presented as the unstoppable, you know, Irish monster fighting machine.
Until he went to Raw.
And then he went to Raw. He went from ECW to Raw, ended up winning the WWE Championship, and then did what WWE always does with their champions when they're heels. They
make them cowards.
Yeah, they turn them into a cowardly kind of chicken shit heel.
Right.
So, but then he turned face and became a little bit more dominant and more aggressive. So now that he's back as a heel, didn't he just revert back to when he was before he became a face?
I'm going to be honest with you. I got lost so quickly in that argument. I'm not trying to be funny. I got lost so quickly in that, but I think I understand what you're trying to say.
Okay, Sheamus was a bad guy.
Yes.
And he was intimidating and
he was a bully.
Yeah, he was a bully.
He's basically the same character he is now.
Except now there's more of a, there's still that chicken shit coward. Heel. Yeah.
Which, okay, let's go away from that argument for a second, and I think we would agree again, that the WWE turns their bad guys into cowards. And they don't let them be strong, aggressive heels. Except for Brock Lesnar, who is now a face, more or less, and Rusev, who they've, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make you sad.
Trying to demoralize me so you win this.
No, that's not how I win fights. I cheap shot. Yeah, that's how I win fights. What were we talking about before we started yelling at each other?
You were saying that this version of Sheamus is completely out of character versus the old Sheamus.
Okay, well, let me clarify that. Maybe he's not completely out of character. I just don't like the way that he was portrayed as, I don't know.
Like which part? During the match or after the match?
I think after.
Probably more so after the match.
Where he would, but see, to me, that was, he never intended to actually kiss Dolph Ziggler's arse.
Right. Well, no.
He was kind of stringing him along because he knew he was just going to attack him.
I think my argument.
That's the way I saw that, is he was never actually going to, but he kept, begging away from it. And
my feeling of it was that since they brought Sheamus back as a badass, like, maybe I haven't watched enough of his promos or his matches, but he seems like a badass who picks on little people, right? Like he's
right.
Because when he first came back, he beats the shit out of Ziggler. He beat the shit out of Zack Ryder. He beat everybody with an inch of their life because he's big and strong and fuck everybody else.
Because he can.
And then he loses to a roll up to Dolph Ziggler, a roll-up, Jordan, like you said, roll-up number one, and in which afterwards, instead of just kicking Ziggler's head off and saying, fuck you, he baits for 10 minutes and gets his face down to his ass and then backs off. I just didn't like it. I think he should have just kicked his face off.
I mean, that's that is what I was expecting, too, is him just immediately, like,
kicking his face off,
yeah, just become enraged that he lost in that way.
Right.
But
well, do you think he should have lost, first off?
Yeah.
You think that's the right move?
Yeah.
Jordan, Tanner, Zach, what do you think?
This is my problem with it. Like, they brought him back, and he was killing everyone.
Yeah, he's a demon.
And then all of a sudden, you know, well, you got this guy, he's just big and badass, and he's killing everyone, and then all of a sudden you get him to his first big, real match, since he's been back, and he loses?
To a roll-up.
I like it that it's, I think it's a good idea because he's like the bully, and you want to see the guy overcome the bully. And he does, sort of. But yet the bully still gets him in the end, so it prolongs the storyline.
Yeah, which, it makes sense that way. Yeah, because there's definitely going to be a match at Payback now.
Well, that was my next question, is what do you think happens to Ziggler after this? He has been tweeting some cryptic tweets. Jordan, I know you've read this, and I've read this, and I've told everybody about it. I think he said something about if this was his last match, he was going to go out swinging. He's been hinting that
he's
leaving.
But then he immediately, like, name-dropped Sheamus, like, for the actual match. Like,
right, so it's a gimmick.
I think that's less, yeah.
It's got to be an angle, but
that's always kind of been his deal, too, is, to a lesser extent of Zack Ryder, he's always kind of taken to Twitter and, you know, after every match he has, it's always follow that. Like, that was his unofficial catchphrase forever.
Right. Well, what do you think they've got planned for him?
I hope something good. I'd love to see a Ziggler.
Realistically, what do you think they have planned for him?
Realistically, I don't know.
Who's he losing to next is what I'm asking you.
Not Zack Ryder.
Well, not name one person, Zach, who's going to lose to Zack Ryder. No, actually, I can name one. Heath Slater. Because no matter how bad Zack Ryder gets, he still beats Heath Slater. Tanner, go ahead. You had a point there.
And now, it may be crazy, but we were talking earlier about the IC title being vacated.
Yeah.
Sheamus and Ziggler be thrown into something like that?
I think it's too many times.
How many times has Ziggler been IC champion now?
Well, four? I mean,
that's a knock on him.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
I just seen it too many times.
I do kind of like that idea of him kind of maybe being the stand-in for
Brian.
Because I feel like the way that they introduce Sheamus back as that bully character, he's here to destroy our heroes. It was going to be Sheamus is eventually going to get the big win over Ziggler. Brian was going to defeat Barrett. And then it was going to lead to Sheamus and Bryan for the IC title. So they could kind of do Ziggler as a stand-in for that.
It makes sense because when he first came back, Sheamus attacked Bryan and Ziggler.
Yeah.
Laid them both out.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have made more sense if Sheamus had won and beat Ziggler and then went on to say, with Bryan gone and no more men here, I'm going to take the title. And then Ziggler comes back out and says, no, you know, you're going to earn it. And then they have a rematch and then Ziggler goes over.
Fantasy booking again.
Fantasy booking.
I mean, it's easy to show. It's easy to do.
It just to me, it reminds, like, if I see Ziggler with the title, I don't mind it, but it's almost like seeing Orton Cena all over again.
Yeah.
Like, every fucking pay-per-view.
Well, Ziggler needs to do something different before he becomes so stale.
Why not the U.S. title?
You know why not the U.S. title.
But I think, to me, I liked it because it was, Ziggler gets his win, Sheamus further establishes himself as the bad guy, the dick, the bully, he does the cheap shot low blow, he attacks him after the match, he's still fighting dirty. I thought it was a good match. It was competitive.
It was a good match. I think we gave it three stars. What we gave it.
I agree with you in that I would have preferred him to immediately have just laid into Ziggler, taken his head off with the bro kick, and then continue to beat him down.
Because do you think that was part of just them trying to fill time somehow?
I think it was them filling time.
Do you think if they didn't have time to fill, they just would have just immediately, he would have beat him down?
Well, what it reminds me of is, the Punisher movie. I know this is going to say, how are you going to tie this together?
I've never seen the Punisher.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
Well, Punisher.
Wait, which one?
The first, not the Dolph Lundgren one, Thomas Jane.
Okay.
Thomas Jane Punisher. Where the Punisher's character was that he was a badass who would just go after you. Mm-hmm. Like in the comics. They kill his family, he starts a war on crime, he just starts fucking people up left and right, right? But in the movie, they played it off more as a methodical Punisher, who, instead of just getting guns and going after John Travolta, he set it up to where he fucked John Travolta's life up, and then in the end, he finally killed him. It was a good movie, but it was out of character for the Punisher. And that's how I feel about Sheamus in this. Like, I can understand why he baited him, because it made for a good story, but I feel like it's out of character for him. I feel like he should have kicked his head off immediately and been like, whatever, fuck you. You know, not a 5 minute, I'm gonna walk out through the crowd. I'm gonna let the ref pull me back. Like you said, Asa. He's pushing people around, but the ref is pulling him back going, no, you gotta stay. Why would Sheamus do that? You know?
Well, and this will be the last thing I say because we don't need to spend this much time on it. But to me, to me,
just told you how to do the show.
Well, no, but like, because he even said he didn't want to spend a whole bunch of time on this. Yeah. To me, that first promo that he cut when he came back after his "I'm back," when he basically just came out and he's like, "No, I'm here to do this because I can. I'm here to fuck with your heroes. So this is just a way for him to continue to play with the fans because he's here. Like, he's mad at the fans now, so."
For some reason.
So that's just what I think. I think it's his character now is that he's just kind of baiting the fans and really just trying to get as much of a, make them as unhappy as possible.
Well, I will be interested to see where they take both Sheamus and Ziggler after this.
Yeah.
I'm curious. But that's going to move us into our next match, which I believe, okay, we're clapping hands already. Jordan's waking back up. He was asleep for a few minutes. I think this is the match that we were all happiest with. The New Day versus Tyson and Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson and Cesaro. Yeah, I got that right. Who said on the show, did anybody say New Day, or did we all say Tyson and Cesaro?
We all were hoping New Day.
Well,
on the podcast we did with Hunter. I think we all thought Tyson and Kidd were going
to
win.
Yeah, we thought there was no way they're going to put New Day over because they don't seem to be backing them like they should.
Really over tonight.
They were over huge, even though they were getting New Day sucks chance.
Well, that's the idea. That's what they want.
Yeah,
like by the end of the match, they were actually
there were some
being
people
cheered.
That were cheering for him. Yeah, and there were some claps.
Xavier Woods is a gold mine of
what he said.
Why are you doing this? We're winning.
It was great.
What did we do?
I love that. You want to make a mention about Natalya's outfit?
I do want to mention Natalya's outfit.
I'll let you get it in real quick.
Well, my God, every time she comes out, she has better and better outfits. Like,
I don't like her wrestling anymore. Her wrestling outfits aren't that impressive.
No, and you know what? I never really found her super. I don't want to be a chauvinistic male pig.
But I
never found her super hot before. I thought she was pretty, and I like thick girls, so she looked thick. But lately, ever since WrestleMania, every time she comes out, I feel like it's DVR time, and then it's time to send Lindsay outside. And it's time to...
Oh, yeah, absolutely not chauvinistic anywhere near about that.
All right, not to the match.
Now that's out of the way, what a great match.
It was good.
Match of the night, easily. A
lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of great spots in there. The sheer power of Cesaro.
That first time he caught Big E.
Oh my God.
That was awesome.
Cesaro and Big E is a feud I would like to see personally.
Absolutely.
Because Big E is amazing, too.
I thought on Monday, whenever Orton RKO'd Woods and Kofi and then Big E kind of begged off. That made me really hope for a Orton Big E feud.
Well, that, you know, we talked about that on the podcast with Hunter, how much that pissed us off that they built Big E up as this, the next Mark Henry, the world's strongest man. He's strong. He's powerful. And then he backs away from Randy Orton, which
again, he's a heel, so he can't be brave.
God damn. That's so frustrating. But at least they got some justice in this match. They got plenty of time to shine. Everybody looked great.
I was real excited how much time that match actually
went. I was too.
They got all their spots in. There was no
botches. No botch mania. It
didn't feel like it was rushed either. It was a huge thing. Like,
yeah.
You could tell there was a story they were trying to tell and they were actually given time to do it. And all four of those guys in the ring I'm a fan of everyone out there, in general. And so it was really nice to see them actually get time to show what they can do.
Yeah, because in a lot of ways, the tag division is a lot like the Divas division, which every once in a while you get some hope that they're going to do something good with it. But generally, they just kind of put them out there for 5-10 minutes, kill some time, and they don't really care about the division. And I still feel that way, but this is one of those matches that makes me hope that they're going to give tag teams a chance. Hashtag trending worldwide nowhere.
The one negative that I will say about the match itself was New Day has been kind of developing as a heel. Like, they were the happy-go-lucky faces. Fans booed them, so now they're actually able to show their displeasure in that. The only thing that bothered me, and it really bothered me about the Divas match, maybe, but then they... Never mind. Was that Tyson Kidd and Cesaro became face default.
Yeah.
There was nothing really on any of the shows that showed them doing anything for the crowd.
With Hunter, and Hunter brought that up, actually, because he said, you know, I didn't know. He told me that Cesaro and Kidd were going to be working as faces.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, did you hear why? And I'm like, no, why? Because Cesaro got a great reaction in Europe, being a European wrestler.
Right.
You know?
So European, even.
Yeah, very European, very if you've ever seen the man. But when they came out, to be fair, huge reaction.
Yeah.
Cheers all over the place.
And whenever when he did the catapult into the corner,
everyone thought he was going to do the swing.
That got a huge reaction.
And then they booed when he didn't.
Yeah.
So that shows you how hungry they are for a face team of Cesaro and Tyson Kidd.
I'm really excited to see. I hope this gets a really long program because I
do too.
I love the idea of Kidd and Cesaro chasing for the titles,
but not too long because we don't want to have a repeat of Jordan. Me and you talked about this to length off mic, of course. When the Usos every fucking pay per view.
Well, you had them like 6, 7, 8 pay per views in a row, and it was the first thing you saw. Like,
yeah, Usos versus Stardust Goldust. Usos versus Wyatt Family. And even though I like fighting champions, it makes sense. I don't know. It got stale after a while.
There was no story that was being told. It was just like, hey, go out and do your monthly match.
Yeah, exactly. But the New Day have, I like the Usos, but they have so much more personality than the Usos.
Yeah.
Each one of those guys.
And to, like, Jordan makes a really good point in that it got stale because they weren't telling a story. It was just, okay, here are the good guys, and now bad guy of the month. There's never really any kind of, like, okay, so is there a feud? Like, is there a reason that they kind of did it with Miz and Mizdow? Because Miz was hitting on Naomi, but not really.
Don't you be
really
talking to me about no Miz and Mizdow. So fucking frustrating.
That was the only time they gave any sort of real story, and even that story wasn't a good one.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time someone turned face or turned heel and actually turned face or turned heel. You know? Like, I think the Big Show was the last one I can remember where he actually turned heel in a match, or he didn't really have much of a reason to do it. But at least you knew that he was suddenly a bad guy, or you knew he was suddenly
Sheamus.
A good guy. Yeah, but he came back as a heel. You know what I mean?
He showed up after.
Okay, like you're not counting like a debut.
Yeah,
or a return.
Although to be fair, when he first came back, they actually did a good thing where he came in and it looks like he was going
to
help them because
he came
good
out to his old music and he chased
stuff. Right. So that I could kind of see. I can see that.
The last one that really stands out to me is that double turn that they did with Del Rio and Ziggler.
Oh, where Del Rio was the face, Ziggler was the heel.
But then at the end of the match,
Ziggler won the title and was suddenly way over.
Del Rio went like super overboard for that. It was that rematch because he cashed in the Money in the Bank.
Right.
And then
I miss Del Rio, by the way.
Oh, Lucha Underground.
I don't get that channel because that's on the El Rey network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't get that channel.
Apparently, everyone that I've seen that talks about it is like, this is the greatest show. And I really hope that there's like they release some kind of collection.
There's
like a first season.
There's a really good, website that you can get a lot of good movies called BitTorrent. It's like the free movie store. No? Okay.
The stealing store?
No, not at all. It's legal if you don't keep it for more than 24 hours. I don't know. But New Day wins, and we were all excited. We didn't think it was going to happen. We cheered when it happened.
I definitely didn't think
we high-fived. Yeah. I think this was the match of the surprise of the night because
no one thought
New Day was going to win. Mm-hmm. You know? After New Day wins, which again, thank God, they go to the back. They have an interview with the always gorgeous Renee Young, who just gets prettier and prettier every week, who should be doing commentary instead of Michael Cole. Do you agree with that?
Oh.
No, Zach, you don't agree with that.
No, she's not better than Michael Cole.
Thank you, Michael.
What about Jerry Lawler?
Go ahead.
It's different because she does like straightforward like play-by-play.
Byron Saxon.
Lawler's way better than Byron
Saxon. Michael Cole, but you guys.
I will admit like
Byron Saxon, you guys could
you're
stand.
Comparing him.
But when Michael Cole was gone, he's like, God damn, I wish he was back. And now he's back. You guys still bitch about
him. No, Michael Cole got
really
bad rap.
Yeah, because we went from bad to worse.
He had that, Michael Cole had that terrible stretch as a heel. And that,
yeah, you like, know, no, I didn't, no, ruined, Asa hit it right on the head right there.
That ruined him for a lot of people.
Yeah, Michael Cole, when he had that heel stretch versus Jerry Lawler and became so obnoxious and so unbearable.
Didn't he isolate himself?
That was actually gold right there.
Yeah,
that was great.
The coal mine.
Yeah. But yeah, he became so unbearable as a heel that's when I stopped liking him.
I agree.
Yeah.
But recently, I like the way he talks. I like the way he makes. I mean,
he's the best one on the team.
Yeah, yes, of the
no
three,
doubt.
Yeah, hands down, he's the best of the three.
He carries them, especially if you see what Byron Saxon tried doing.
Yeah.
None of them
but
can
I,
work together.
But I know you guys talked about the Byron Saxon thing, but it's like it's what I said at WrestleMania. It's like Renee Young and Corey Graves are right there.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to be by themselves, and they definitely don't have to be, you know, just, like, put them out there with Byron Saxton, replace all three of them.
So you're saying go with a whole new announce team?
Yeah.
I can see that.
I think JBL
gives that nice feel.
JBL is very hit and miss with me.
Yeah.
And on this show tonight, he was hit and miss. A lot of the times,
He didn't say anything funny.
He made a lot of good points. I really think Jerry Lawler doesn't even, I love Jerry Lawler, first off. I think Jerry Lawler is one of the greatest wrestlers and in-ring talents and on-the-mic talents in the history of wrestling. But I don't think he needs to be out there anymore.
I agree.
I feel like every time he goes out there, he's just
that's why
he
just
third
doesn't
wheel.
Care. That's
yeah,
why
he's third
moved.
Wheel.
He's like, eh. That's why he got moved to SmackDown.
I'm getting my paycheck.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. But replace him with Booker T, who Asa said is high 24/7.
See, I like Booker T. I like JBL.
He's
like
in my favorite five dog.
I think they need to like have like maybe it's because I don't know. Maybe it's getting stale. Maybe if they rotate.
somebody
put
out,
different
like,
people in,
like,
different people out.
Take Booker T out 1 week, put somebody else in, but next week take out JBL and leave Booker T, put somebody new in. Maybe that'll help start something.
I can understand how they don't do that, just because, like, it might be like to people who don't watch every single week. Yeah. Like, if you or they don't understand what they're doing, like, mm-hmm. if they jump in, like, wait,
where's Jerry Lawler?
Yeah,
where's Booker T?
Why is there some blonde girl instead of Jerry Lawler?
I don't want no women telling me who's wrestling, you know?
When did CM Punk start doing commentary? Like, that's...
Aw, that was pretty good.
I love Corey Graves. I would like to go on record as I love Corey Graves.
Oh, everybody does love Corey Graves. He's amazing. From the Sunset Strip. Oh, my God.
Stay down.
Oh, that was amazing. Also amazing, New Day wins. Had to come full circle there.
Backstage interview with
Ambrose and Luke Harper. They finish off their match. They crash the interview. I'm trying to remember who said this to me. I think it was either Tanner or Jesse. I can't remember. Or maybe it was you, Jordan. But they said, okay, so Big E can catch Cesaro.
That was Jesse.
He said, yeah, Big E can catch Cesaro, no problem. But when there's three of them and Ambrose jumps on them, they all take a tie.
He's dense as fuck.
Yeah, he just falls right over. They go back out in the ring and they actually end their match
They throw all the chairs in.
They throw 1,000 chairs in. Don't really do anything with them.
No.
I thought it was just piling on top of Ambrose.
They were going for kind of a cool visual, which I thought it was, but it didn't really.
I could have been better if they'd actually done something with them.
In ECW.
Yeah.
Much better in ECW.
But yeah, but way better.
I think they were trying to do the DDT onto the chair.
And he missed.
Yeah.
Probably.
I feel like that's
I don't know. He was so far off. There's no way. I don't think he tried to do it onto the chair. Cause there was a whole stack of them, like, immediately to his right. And then it almost looked like they had cleared a space.
It was like a foot or two away from the chair when he did it.
So I don't think he tried. I think it was just a clean, dirty deeds.
Clean. Did you say clean, dirty deeds?
I did.
That doesn't sound right, but okay, we'll move on. Asa, your match is up next. Cena versus Rusev.
Right.
And then, moving on. Yes. Bella versus Naomi. No, we gotta go back to that. We gotta talk about Cena versus Rusev.
That was the stupidest match.
The match itself was okay. I don't think I've never really been a fan of any of the chain or strap
matches. The gimmicky
matches,
yeah.
True. Especially when it's Velcro.
The way that they ended it though makes absolutely no sense to me.
I actually missed the ending because I was talking to Bob and Jesse, so.
The ending was, the crowd, I'm assuming, just got bored with it. So they started chanting for Lana. And she got a huge reaction. She stands up onto the apron and starts waving to her fans. Rusev gets angry and yells at her to send her to the back and then turns around into attitude adjustment and Cena gets to hit the corners.
Oh, okay, you know.
But
the crowd loved John Cena at the end. They fucking loved him.
Asa, I did not know that's how it ended. And now you just made me think of something. I want to get your guys' opinion on this. So we all know that WWE matches are scripted to no end. Everything's scripted, right? Mm-hmm. Were they relying on the possibility
that the crowd would chant
for Lana to finish that? Or did they call that on the fly?
I sometimes wonder if they had people hiding in the crowd
sort of
who start the chants and get them going.
A plant? They planted in the crowd
to do that? Anytime they go to like certain crowd shots, there's always plants.
Right.
Like, you know, the people, when Donald
Trump. The Roman Reigns signs.
The Roman
end,
Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the whenever Donald Trump made it rain money and like the people were holding like $100 bills.
Yeah, because this seems way too convenient that their planned finish was the crowd to chant Lana. Because what if the crowd didn't chant Lana?
I wonder if that was their like dream scenario, like, okay, we'll make that work. Or if it's just going to be Lana tries to interfere and Rusev gets distracted and sends her away.
Right.
I feel like that was going to be the end game no matter what, but they just kind of.
They got lucky.
Yeah, they kind of lucked into it. And maybe I'm completely wrong and whatever, but that.
Well, it just seems odd.
I don't want
to
see, I love the duo of Lana and Rusev.
Yeah.
I think she's a great mouthpiece for him. I think she does a really good
job. I bet she is.
You're welcome. Oh, you're welcome, Shannon.
That's for later on in the show.
As I heard you say that, I kind of looked at Tanner, I looked at Zach, and I saw smiles, and I thought, I know where this is going.
You're welcome. No, I think she's a great manager. I love the dynamic of the two of them, and I really don't want to see it end. Like, and I get, you know, some people might think that his character might be growing stale, but.
I don't know. That's what happened later on.
I'm still very consistently entertained by him.
Do you think his character would be as good without Lana?
I think his character would be as good, but I don't think the
reaction.
I don't think the crowd would feel as strongly about him.
But, well, you've seen the crowd, like, she left after he kicked her, you know, out of the arena. Like, told her, go away, just leave. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the crowd was just like Cena.
Cena all the way.
It was just like
you hear USA. Everyone in that arena starts just chanting USA. And we're like, what happened?
Now, back to the end of the match. That just, I didn't understand that because Rusev
We need to explain the rules first.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But you want to explain?
Jordan, go ahead. Jordan, you take this.
Rusev was backed into one corner, then the other, then Cena touched two corners, right? Mm-hmm. But then I thought there was some. Physical...
They all had three.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, like the okay, actual okay. The rules. Well, I'll let Zach because you were really well
he, like a rabbit the, hound again. Yeah.
Go over okay, with
the rules. That was crazy.
From previous strap matches, you have to touch all four of the posts first.
Yeah.
You know, until it's interrupted, you know, until something breaks off like a time limit usually.
You have to be hit because, like, or pulled in the opposite direction.
Yeah, well, like that's in old matches, you can tag and then somebody else can tag. And if you had to, like, let's say you have to get to the one corner, but you can't reach that. So you beat up the guy to go tag it. In this match, when it would happen, if John Cena had to get that one, he would go ahead to beat up Rusev, but then he couldn't get to it. But at the end of the match,
they'd wipe his, like Cena hit two, would attack Rusev. And normally that wouldn't reset the counter, but then for this match it did.
Yeah, and then at the very end, he got all three of them. He had to give him an attitude adjustment. It didn't fucking restart, even though it was an interruption like they said it would be, and he still got the fucking win. The rules went out the fucking window.
Well, from the start, whenever they had it going, and it's like he would hit a corner, and then Cena would like hold. Cena held the chain, mm-hmm. and he couldn't touch it for 20, 30 seconds. It still stayed lit. But at other times, 2 seconds goes where he gets punched, all the lights go off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tanner, what is the fucking point?
What it was, like I said, if they got hit.
Don't say what it was.
What it was.
Sorry.
What had happened was.
What had happened, if they got hit, that was an interruption. Or if they hit someone, that was an interruption.
Or if they got, if the chain, if they couldn't.
When they were sitting there at the stalemate, essentially tug of warring at that chain, he's trying to reach for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may be sitting there for 10 seconds. And the lights don't reset, but as soon as he takes one step back because he's fallen or he's pulled in the opposite direction, reset.
I think you're looking into this more than they did.
No, they literally said that during the match.
Yeah, that match.
That was the biggest bullshit finish, in my opinion.
Well, a strap match in general, I can't think of a good strap match. The closest one was probably Eddie versus JBL.
That was a good one.
And Umaga and CM Punk had a pretty good one.
That was pretty good. Well, both of those guys are fantastic, too, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, they are. I mean, all things...
I think Tanner had my favorite point of the night, though, during that match, like the opening tug of war.
Oh, yeah.
They're slacking the rope.
Yeah,
the
like,
and they're about to pass out.
They're sitting
out.
There, Pat. Like,
they're so flexed.
They were stressing it so hard.
Their faces are just so red. And also, you see that chain just bouncing because they're slacking it.
it's just like a loose rope hanging down. Like, I understand that they couldn't really jerk on each other. Wait.
No.
God, all right, you know, fuck it. Point over.
Cena retains the United States Championship.
Two-star match, we agree.
After the match.
Go ahead.
Well, after the match, Rusev is yelling at Lana again, and he points her, and she turns around and walks to the authorities' office.
Well, before that, you got to mention, they got their American ending that Jack Swagger probably should have had a year ago.
How great would that? No, not a year ago. This
Kurt Angle.
Like now.
Or Kurt Angle anytime. Giant U.S. flag comes down. Cena does the fucking
and that's
Marine
how we
salute.
Get to, why not at fucking WrestleMania? Why didn't they have it?
Exactly. Well, and you would say, well, okay, because this was the final match of the feud, like Hunter said. But mm-hmm. no, like you said, after that, he sends Lana to the authority.
Yeah, it came out and it was... I think we should wait for that because that
happened later.
Yeah, they didn't come back and tell us what happened later.
There was at any point during the night, did we see Triple H or Stephanie or anything?
No.
I fucking missed them during the show.
They weren't there.
Like they weren't on the.
They showed the video package of Triple H explaining.
Video package, yes, but no live.
The past 2 weeks, they're on vacation, and you didn't get to see them.
Well, I thought there was Hunter, Kane, and Seth all talking.
Oh,
in the back office.
Yeah, that could have been.
Because he was like, we all need to get on the same page.
Yeah, that
See,
is,
I don't
it.
Even remember.
That
might
have
been.
Happened,
on
but that
could have
been. No, it was on.
I think that was live. I think that was.
And
live.
And we can go ahead and spoil it. It's not the end of the. I mean, it doesn't matter where we put this, but it's not the end of the feud. They're going to have a match. What's the next pay per view?
Payback.
Next pay per view. Payback. They're
in
doing
the Royal Farm Arena. That's what it's really called.
Where is that at?
Baltimore. They're going to have the two guys from ROH, the Briscoe brothers, come in.
Yeah, right. I wish.
No.
What's the match they're going to do? I Quit Match.
I Quit Match.
Which Cena's going to win.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting rid of
Cena. Cena's going to retain the championship.
I'm excited
for the next,
spoiler.
Like,
I win.
I'm excited for Rusev to win the TNA championship. And
get the Bound for Glory points.
Yeah. Moving on past that, I didn't see a lot of this match. The parts of this match I saw usually when one of them were bent over. Again, here comes the chauvinistic
pig. And the malfunction of the top.
That was the best
part. And Brie had to tuck in her boobs.
I gotta watch it. I hope there's a GIF of that. Or GIF, Louie. Fuck, I'm going to get yelled at for that one if he listens.
I'm looking it up for you real quick.
Bella versus Naomi. Nikki Bella versus Naomi. I don't want to talk about this match because I don't want Asa to just shit all over Nikki Bella.
I was disappointed. The match itself was better than I expected it to be. I really like Naomi.
I loved her shoes. Yeah. Her shoes were so cool.
I was really hoping it would go full video game.
Yes. Like, when she was about to lose, it would flash red. Yeah.
You know, if she got a, if she got a special move, it would go blue.
The shoes were awesome. Her ass was awesome.
But the one, but there was a malfunction in both of them. One was one color, one was the other.
Yeah.
And then I think there was seriously a button.
It immediately cycled through all of them.
And then she lost.
Like, if you were paying enough close attention, like, whenever she, her foot would be lifted up for something, you could see, like, a bar going right through the arch that was connected to where the lights were. I think there was, like, a button there that any time she made hard contact on something, like with the kick.
It was supposed to change color.
It was supposed to change color.
They must have been American shoes because they didn't work right.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't have a problem with the match itself. Like, I will agree that Nikki Bella has gotten a lot better than when she started.
All jokes aside, she has.
But she's my problem with it is the Bella twins are heels.
Brie
Bella was a face and then just randomly became a heel again because why give a story? Then Paige wins the right to be number one contender in that battle royal.
But has to go film a movie.
Naomi attacks her, injures her, puts her out for however long it takes to film a movie.
With the Miz.
So, but that turns heel. That turns Naomi heel. Because now Naomi is a villain for taking out Paige and declaring that her time is now. So now you have the first, her first real match as a heel is against another heel, but then she kind of played the face a little bit. Like her entrance, she kind of did more of a, it was more of a face.
She played to the crowd.
But then to win the match, Brie cheated for her and kicked her in the head while, and I don't understand.
We talked about that. The WWE writer who said that they have literally no regard for who's a face and who's a heel in the Divas division. They don't think it's important. They don't think people will care.
And it is, and it is important so much.
They feel like they could just parade any girl out there at any point and say good guy, bad guy, and you're just kind of going to go along with it, you know?
But they didn't even do that. They paraded them out there as bad guy, good guy. Oh, but now bad guy again for no reason.
Nikki Bella, I can see why they're faces because they're really attractive and They got the hype machine behind them. That's why. It's like Kane said, we could push Torito as champion. You know?
Okay.
I think he said. Okay. And it's the same with the Bellas. Like, whoever Vince McMahon wants to be the top diva will be the top diva, regardless of who it is. But with the Bellas, they work so much better as bitchy heels. You know? Not the life or death, I wish you weren't born stuff, because that was awful.
I wish you died in the womb.
That was god awful. But as bitchy
heels. I watched Brie Bella murder a man and I didn't say anything.
Please tell me that was in there.
Probably. I don't know. They were all awful.
Yeah, I thought I was about to get a little bit more interested.
They were all terribly acted.
Look, I was disappointed in the simple fact that Paige wasn't able to do it. I mean, I understand she's doing a movie. But
with The Miz.
I'm a Paige fan.
With Johnny Cage.
I'm a fan of Paige. But the fact she's doing a movie with Miz kind of takes her down.
A Christmas movie.
I'm willing to bet that she probably didn't have a whole lot of say in it.
It's
the same with like Total Divas. I don't remember. Someone was on, like, people were really ragging on her when she joined the cast of Total Divas, and someone who used, like, it was a former diva, like, went to Twitter and was like, for all you people who are saying that you're not, like, you hate Paige now, realize that this decision was not made by her.
Yeah, she's contracted.
Is she gonna be in a Christmas movie because she's white as snow? Is that why?
I think she plays the snow, actually.
Probably. She just kind of jumps off the roof.
Sheamus makes a cameo.
But you don't see him.
Well, who would you have been more excited to see in this match? Bella versus Paige or Bella versus Naomi? I think Naomi, I'm not saying Paige is bad because I love Paige too. But I think Paige is established.
It is a fresher matchup.
Right.
And I would have probably been into that match a lot more if I was given any reason.
A clear cut.
If I was
heel,
given any reason
face,
to be.
Yeah.
Not even that. Like, why? Okay. I get the fact that Naomi has beaten Bella before.
Yeah.
She feels she deserves a championship match. Good. Go with that. You don't need to turn her heel to get there.
Right.
Well, have her win the battle royal.
Let's.
What if? Oh wow! She's beaten the champion. Now she won this battle royal. She might actually win the title.
That would have made more sense to me.
Why let Paige win?
Well, it's, you know, that was infuriating, but at least they kind of had a story of Naomi beats her up because she deserves it because she already beat, but like you said, she beat Bella. She feels she deserves it. This is off topic, but me and Zach and Hunter talked about this, and it still pisses me off. Even worse than that was that they had Miz beat Damian Sandow after building up Damian Sandow turning against the Miz. And now Miz is gone and Damian Sandow can't get that win back. What is the point of burying a new character?
How great would it have been if Sandow wins that? He continues to wrestle these 3 months as Damian Mizdow.
Yeah.
Then Mike Mizanin returns.
And fights over the name.
And has to, and tries
it,
to.
It would be the best feud since Booker T.
Fantasy Booker and, again.
Booker T. Wait, and Ahmed Johnson fought over the letter T.
You're gonna be on it.
No, cause Jordan. I have one in my head already that Jordan. I really want to see.
In WCW. Now, I'm not making fun. I just want to tell you the story. In WCW, I don't know if you remember this, Asa, Booker T and Ahmed Johnson, who I don't remember what his name was in WCW. He was very, very briefly in there. But they wrestled for use of the letter T. Booker T lost, and he became G.I. Bro. G.I. Bro. Dude, knowing his half the battle. Well,
my bad.
Naomi lost, unfortunately.
And we move on.
And we move on. I will say, I think this is pretty much the dagger for Give Divas a Chance.
I think the best part of that whole match was the Brie Bella boob tuck.
I think the best part of that match was anytime Naomi was on screen, because, like, those shorts were...
You missed what, like, we're talking about.
Well, her boobs are... Like, her like, shirt was coming
Did you find that gif, by the way?
I didn't see one yet.
I gotta find it later.
You gotta find it for us.
Fuck, I've got the network. I'll just rewatch it. But then I have to rewatch that match.
No,
it wasn't a bad match.
If only there was a fast forward button or something.
Actually, 2 points. We forgot to make this. Naomi versus Bella, 3 stars, but an extra 2 stars for the TNA, you know what I mean. Yeah. And this is a great joke and we missed it. New Day versus Tyson and Cesaro, 3-star match, but 3 isn't enough for Big E.
Damn, we missed it.
So we had to give that one 5 stars.
Over.
All right, guys, welcome to the entire show, guys.
Welcome to Podzilla. I'm the new host.
I go for it. Take my job.
Don't tempt him.
Reigns versus Big Show. Actually, it wasn't as bad.
Yeah, you say that like, oh, this was terrible. And
at Greg, first, that's what we thought.
We did skip like the first half of this match.
As a backstory for the people listening, my friend Robert came in. I call him Robert. It makes it sound more official. Me and him and Jesse from Pen and Nerd, we stood over there talking. And as we're talking, about 30 seconds into it, all of you guys come over and congregate around us. That's how much no one cared about that match. But when we actually went to go watch it, it wasn't that bad.
Got interesting.
It got interesting. I was
watching from where we were. It started off pretty slow. I thought it built nicely, kind of going from spot to spot.
A lot of good spots.
Like,
the work rate.
That choke slam
was insane.
We were afraid Big Show was going to go through those tables. They had 2 tables propped up on the outside. Big Show, it almost seemed like they were going to put Big Show through them, and which we all said, please God, no, because he will, like a Mortal Kombat fatality, disintegrate as he hits the ground.
And what I want to point out is Ace, I think, is still right on the whole Tommy Dreamer effect.
With Roman Reigns?
He took an ass beating against Brock Lesnar. I wouldn't say this is as big as an ass beating as Brock Lesnar, but the fact that he took a choke slam from inside the ring
to the outside.
Through two tables. He does kind of set up that whole.
He does, and it works for him. Yes. Like he's getting.
He got over.
He's got more cheers in this than he did at WrestleMania.
Yes,
by far.
That's because it wasn't.
I also think they were. That's true. I also think that they were smart and pairing. Like as much as I didn't really want to see this matchup or this story, it is a good call to set him up with someone like Big Show, who the fans are fairly like. They're pretty solidly against him.
Yeah.
The casual fans are people like us, we're not, you know,
the
fans
smarts.
Of what Big Show or like what he's been doing, how he's been used. I am a fan of Big Show in general.
I think Big Show falls in the same category as Kane, where you love the performer but hate what they've done with them.
Yeah.
You know? But Big Show loses to Roman Reigns. Not a bad match.
No. The way it ended.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they broke Big Show's ankles.
It looked like it landed right on the...
That spear was pretty impressive.
The spear, okay,
you're talking about the chokeslam. That's spear.
Big Show is standing on the Spanish announce table.
He's standing on the
regular announce table. Roman Reigns runs upstairs that were set by it, spears Big Show through the Spanish announce table next to it.
Yes.
Good spot. And then picks up the regular announce table and slams it down on top of Big Show, which then, like Zach said, crushed it, and what did it look like?
His feet looked like the
Wicked Witch of the West. Yeah.
The only thing would have curled up, and he had, like, black and white socks.
Yeah.
There is one thing that I noticed that I didn't say when we were watching it, but so Roman Reigns single-handedly flips that announce table over, and then it took a whole crew of people to flip it back over.
There's, like, 10 people come out to flip the table back over.
Why?
I knew you were going with this.
So why did Brock Lesnar, like, was he able to just flip it over even harder the Monday after WrestleMania? Because the last 2.5 hours of Raw, that announce table just stayed where it was. I'm pretty sure it might still be flipped over to this day.
They still say that Booker T is buried under it, and that the Booker T they have now is just a clone.
Exactly.
You know?
It's a new actor.
They just made Stevie Ray look like Booker T a little bit. Well, maybe they just have they bought weaker announce tables in case that happened.
Like, oh, actually, if we tip it over long ways, it's easier. Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't make these tables out of like titanium or Gundanium. Gundanium. Right. Lindsay will get that one.
I'm glad somebody will.
Yeah. So Reigns versus Big Show, not a bad match.
When you watch this with her later, make sure you know when to wave.
I'll point it out to her.
Just look at her wave.
I'll be standing behind her, and then when that goes, I'll nudge her. Go, yeah. 3.5 stars for that one, which for a Reigns versus Big Show match.
Pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive, yeah. Let's move on to the main event. Final
match. There was a segment before that.
Oh, fuck. God damn, son of a bitch.
It was really good until fucking Ryback came out. Oh, and the Lana thing.
And then in between the match itself, that show it was the whole it is done. It's going to be an I Quit match for the U.S. title,
right? And then Bo Leave
comes out to the ring.
Bo Heat Sucker comes out,
and he acted, but he was different.
He cut a heel promo.
And you liked it.
I did like it.
I did. I am not a fan of Bo Dallas.
No,
he was great. I thought he was a lot better in NXT when you had that full character arc.
Yes.
He wants to be the face. He is the face to, people, the New Day treatment where people just turn on the face act.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's a face and then is just a full on.
But New Day did it better in WWE. That's kind of the problem with NXT people.
But then they brought him straight from NXT to Raw and he, without any, like, assuming that all of the people who watch Raw watch NXT.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. What do you do when someone comes up from NXT? Do you carry over what they've done and just assume the people see it? Or do you press the reset button and go through the same angle again because it has a bigger audience?
I don't know. Like, I think with that kind of character, it's a much harder to do versus someone like Seth Rollins or, Adrian Neville or Big E.
Right.
Like, all of them originally came from NXT. Mm-hmm. And just immediately,
same character,
Adrian Neville immediately blows it out of the water. Lucha Dragons are immediately impressing everybody. But
weren't on the show.
But Bo Dallas is a much more character-driven, character. I guess that doesn't make sense.
Character-driven guy. It does.
But tonight he comes out and he's not just super over-the-top annoying. He flat out is insulting the crowd.
He told them, didn't tell them to shut up at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah. He flat out said, shut up.
Yeah, shut up when I'm talking and yes.
Well, my God, how long has he been on TV doing the same gimmick without this turn? It's been forever. A year, right?
Yeah.
At least. That he's come out and done the same believe, but didn't add any edge to the character.
Right.
So finally he adds edge to the character.
So now he's an inspirational speaker who is just mad at the people he's trying to inspire because they don't want to hear him.
Right. Which, great. Should That's they a- team him up with New Day?
No, God,
I thought that watching the New Day match.
Yeah, maybe he should be, part of their team. He would fit in there very well, I think.
I mean, except he's white. But I actually like all three of them as wrestlers as New Day. I don't think.
I thought you were going to say as black.
No, I don't think Bo Dallas is a.
Maybe solid. A new Four Horsemen. Yeah. No, okay. No. Show of hands.
So, Bo Dallas.
Who likes Ryback here? Raise your hand. Me and Tanner. Five people, me and Tanner. Okay. Ryback comes out, feed him more.
He does his three moves of doom.
Was it even three?
I think it was just one.
It was clothesline and then
clothesline and shell shock.
Oh, no, spine buster.
The spine buster he let go of as soon as he picked him up.
He really, I do like Ryback in the sense that as a character, a big strong guy, he looks amazing. He's also like a white Ahmed Johnson, isn't he?
Super dangerous to work with and just
super dangerous nothing to work but with.
Vince
muscle.
McMahon's wet dream.
Yeah, nothing but muscle, big meathead.
Who would you rather wrestle, Jack Swagger or Ryback?
Fuck.
I could probably
just break my arm.
I could
now.
Probably outrun Ryback. Jack Swagger's strictly an athlete.
You could just throw some protein bars at Ryback and he's distracted.
I just pulled some goldfish out of my pocket and yeah.
If you're running against Ryback, you ever watched, I know you watched The Simpsons.
Oh yeah.
But where Bart's getting chased by the bullies and he has a blinker for being the hall monitor.
He pushes left and goes
left
right.
And goes right. That's how you have to fuck up Ryback.
Ryback will go left and go, what? And then throw him some Ritz crackers.
Yeah, so Ryback comes out and does
squashes him. Was it a match or just a
beatdown? No, it was just him interrupting Bo Dallas. Then it goes on to the main event.
All right, so main event.
With Gatekeeper Kane.
The Gatekeeper.
It actually said it on his.
And they referred to him repeatedly as the Gatekeeper.
Happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday, Kane. Happy birthday to the passing of Connor.
It's not! It's fucking not!
God damn. I just wanted to rally you up there.
It was yesterday.
I just wanted to rally you up there.
Well, we didn't do a show yesterday.
We didn't do a show. Yes, we did. With Hunter.
Oh, that's right.
Shut your mouth. Rollins.
You said on Facebook you released it a day early, so you actually didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then, Tanner. Rollins versus Orton. I'm so tired. Good match?
No. I enjoyed it.
It was entertaining.
It was average.
Yeah.
It was average, yeah.
The big story of it was, is Kane going to turn? Which, since they built it up so much, you knew he was going to turn against Orton and go with the Authority. But,
did a little twist.
He beat up everybody.
Yeah.
Which
I think that was the best way to go.
He still tried to help Rollins win.
Well, he did help Rollins win.
He beat him up, but he helped him win.
Yeah, he choked slammed him
and dragged him over Orton's.
But, Orton kicked out, Rollins, and this is the part that I don't get. Oh, Tanner, go ahead.
Another rule change. That's what you're getting ready
to. Yeah, it is. Because Jerry Lawler pointed this out. We kind of had an argument about it. So the rule for this match was the RKO was banned. That's how they promoted it. The RKO was banned. And you just assumed, okay, that means Randy Orton can't do it. The finish of the match, Orton RKO's Kane, and then Seth Rollins RKO's Orton. Jerry Lawler, and I know you guys are going to argue with me on this, and I think it should be an argument because I think that's what they want. I think that's going to
exactly
be the point.
Exactly. It was extreme rules.
The only reason I don't really want to argue it is because it's very easily solved. All we have to do is pull up the pre-match promo on the network, and it'll say, like, because it strictly lays out. I do think they said Randy Orton is banned from using the RKO. That's how
we
I thought that
we had, yeah,
we weren't here for it. We got pizza. But again, at the end of the match, Jerry Lawler specifically says, and again, I want to point out for people that don't know, it's not like the announcers just talk. They have people in their ear constantly telling them what to say. That's one of the reasons Mick Foley said he didn't want to do commentary because he couldn't handle that. Mm-hmm. Jerry Lawler specifically says, wait, I thought the RKO was banned. To which they go, no, it was banned for Randy Orton, which is what you guys said. And
right.
So it's basically mirroring what we said. But I think that is going to play into this somehow. I think Randy Orton is going to get a rematch because Seth Rollins did the RKO. I think it's going to be a payback.
I think they're going to do a triple threat.
Yeah.
With Kane, Rollins, and Orton at payback.
Is that exciting?
Yeah. To me, I've always
depends on what Kane comes out.
Is it going to be the gatekeeper Kane, the demon Kane, corporate Kane?
It's going to be the corporate gatekeeper demon Kane. D. Kane.
D. Kane.
D.K. What does the D stand for again? Demon. Yeah. Are SCM Punk fans, I'm going to address this to you three specifically. Does it depress you that we will have a main event of probably Rollins versus Kane versus Orton, whereas Rollins is the champion, right?
Yeah.
But if CM Punk was the champion, he would be on two matches from the top, and the top would be Rusev versus Cena. Do you think that's unfair?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying.
I'm not trying to provoke you. I don't understand what you're.
Well, I'm just.
Are you pointing? Okay, so you're saying that because during CM Punk's reign as
championship, yeah,
he was not the main event as champion. Cena was the champion.
Yes.
Cena was the main event.
Cena was the main event, despite the fact that he wasn't champion. And now, do you think it's a shot at CM Punk? Do you think they learned their lesson?
Absolutely not. I don't think it's a shot at CM Punk at all.
I think everybody's moved on from it.
Yeah,
they don't really care that fucking much.
Well, I'm saying, why do you think they changed it? Why is Cena not in the main event now?
I think it is, they are treating the WWE Heavyweight Championship as way elevated since Brock Lesnar has had it. Because he was the main event. It wasn't necessarily the championship. It was Brock Lesnar seeing Brock Lesnar wrestle. And so now they are treating, to me at least, the vibe I get from them, is they are treating the championship as the fucking championship. The reason that people are, every single one of them is in the WWE. So I do think they've kind of not learned their lesson, but I think that after Brock Lesnar They are making a conscientious effort to make the championship a really high profile thing.
I think they're doing that with all the belts right now.
Yeah.
And I think,
I think if they're trying to take a shot at CM Punk right now, and if that's what they're doing, they're fucking like really childish.
If they were going to take a shot at CM Punk, they would give Seth Rollins a 340.
Who says they won't? But then I know Lesnar will be back sooner than later.
Do you think he wins the championship back?
Lesnar.
Given what his contract allegedly is, no one here actually knows what he signed on for.
It wasn't like 4 years.
Assuming it's like a 3 year.
It's multi-year. Yeah.
But it's assuming it's still going to be that limited 6-match-a-year schedule, whatever. Do you think they put the belt back on him after having done the limited run champion thing? Or do you think they just kind of try to go story to story that doesn't necessarily involve the championship?
Well, the only story they can do with Lesnar coming back is either he goes after Triple H again, mm-hmm. or he goes after Rollins.
I could see it, like, to me, what I'm expecting is he has his rematch with Rollins. someone screws him over, cough, cough, Bray Wyatt hologram.
Oh, please no.
And then
please
he
no,
does,
God no.
And then his next, like, 2-3 matches are eaten up in that feud.
Yeah, but when you
That'd
have a guy
that,
like...
I don't put it past him doing something like that just because it is the McMahons making the decision.
But has there been a Lesnar feud that didn't involve the title since Triple H? Like,
no.
I'm trying to think of when he came back.
He did. Undertaker, yeah.
There was Undertaker.
He came back and lost to Cena, then beat Cena.
And then he lost to Triple H. No, he beat Triple H and then lost to Triple H, right?
Yeah. And then he destroyed Cena for the championship.
Well, no, that was after Undertaker.
Then he beat Undertaker and then came back and destroyed Cena had his title run.
Where do you put Brock Lesnar other than a main event at this point? You know?
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. I think that they're gonna do, they're gonna bring him back as the main event. He's not gonna win it though. And then he'll.
So I just want to point out, Zach wrote a note down. It just says Ziggler best.
Well, if you were talking about shots taking at CM Punk, there was last week on Raw when he was calling out Sheamus, he's like, I'm the best there is. He kind of like took a shot. I don't know talking about somebody taking shots at CM Punk. Do you think they went out there and told him to go?
Just say that he's the best because no other wrestler's done that.
Hold on.
Said it.
And there was something a couple weeks ago that specifically was about CM Punk that they told Ziggler to say, I thought, wasn't there?
I don't know.
Like, this was blatant. Like, he specifically said something that tied directly into, because I remember reading it on a couple different things. People were kind of upset going, oh, that's childish. That's just a shot at CM Punk. But I can't remember what it was. Zach, if you want to look that up while we talk about this.
I do know, I did read that they did a list of longest championship reigns
and they
completely
left Punk off. I read that list and I kept looking for Punk. And I thought, okay, what is their criteria? Well, like, what is the basis of this? Because
this was back in January.
Did you find it?
I found it.
What did it say?
I just got the date, but
I imagine the criteria is not just abandon the company.
Even though he's not with the company, or you know, walked out, whatever you want to say it as, he was still champion for.
Yeah, you can't.
However long he was.
I was wrong. It was like 430 some days.
434 days. I just want to.
Okay.
Thank you.
434.
I think Zach's
got it pulled up, but one second. I just want to point out, when I read that list, I may be wrong, but I could have sworn they didn't count it as individual reigns. They counted it as days put together for all your title reigns. And if you do it that way, Punk wasn't on the list because he didn't have as many title wins and stretches. Mm-hmm. He just had that one really long one. Yeah. Zach, go ahead.
Okay, they said it. He said it on its taping at SmackDown.
Who said what?
Dolph Ziggler said this. Then WWE put it on their Twitter account, and CM Punk also had a reply to it. But he said, "I'd rather sit here in this ring and face any punishment than sit at home complaining on some podcast."
Yeah.
CM Punk came back and said, "Wasted arrows."
I remember that.
Yeah. So, could it be that they're taking more shots at Punk? Possibly.
Do you think Dolph Ziggler is like saying, "Okay, fuck it, because it's my job." Because I thought they were all pretty good friends.
They are, but like, it's like when Asa was talking about Total Divas. If WWE tells you to go out there and say something,
you better go say it.
You better do it if they tell you to.
But so the reason that I think him coming out and saying that he's the best isn't a jab at Punk is because they even did a full-on promo. Do you remember when Chris Jericho came back to feud with Punk?
Yeah,
and he's like, "You're ripping me off." And CM Punk's just like, "You invented saying that you're the best?" Because I'm pretty sure there was a fellow Canadian, you might know him, he claimed to be the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
I love that.
And it's just.
I also love Bret Hart.
but like
Sneaky
on the
Jordan angry
on the topic of like him not being on that list, like you say he should be included on the list because of how long he held the belt. If there's a reason why they want to not include him, say there's another list of high profile wrestlers for some reason. I don't know what it would be, but you think they would include Benoit?
No,
they've already.
They're never going
to. If they ever publish a list of wrestlers that have wrestled for the company from Canada, starting with the letter C, he will still not be on it.
They've already taken him off. I don't know if you watch the network at all, but if you go back and watch shows where he's been parts of, like when you go through like the timeline of the show, it'll have your points. Like here's where RVD wins, here's where Kane wins. Then there's like a huge like 40-minute gap.
I saw that the other day.
That's where Chris Benoit was located.
I was watching a WCW Nitro episode, and they had a Four Horsemen segment, and they just completely blank through the entire thing. But they at least acknowledge who he is. Like I figured they would bleep his name or something. They don't bleep his name. They don't cut his parts. They just
don't
promote
him.
I don't.
You can still watch it. You just can't actually skip to it.
Yeah, you can't specifically look for Chris Benoit because his name is not on
there. You have to go on Wikipedia, figure out when it was.
Right.
What was the? There was something where they were going over, I guess, WrestleMania main events, and they talked about it was they made it they made the story it was Triple H versus Shawn Michaels, but their feud was so personal that they overlooked the third man who won the match.
Yeah, Benoit. Yeah. But
they don't say his name. They don't show the picture of him holding the belt.
To be fair, though, okay.
And I get it. Like, oh, no, I'm not saying, like, I completely.
That was on Wrestling as a Wrestling. They mentioned that, yeah.
They really mention Chris Benoit. They just kind of talk about their feud in it.
Well, they mention Chris Benoit, though. They mention him by name. Oh, yeah,
they mention it by name. But
that was it. That was all they did.
But that focuses more on Triple H, and Triple H, as the character, didn't really have a.
And I want to get back to Rollins and Orton, but I do want to bring up one thing. Since you've opened up the can of worms, one last thing to talk about Chris Benoit. I swear. Would you acknowledge Chris Benoit on the air?
Absolutely.
Really?
I know what he did was wrong, but there was something psychological wrong there.
There is, but what was psychologically wrong with him was as a direct result of his time in wrestling.
Yes.
So thereby promoting Chris Benoit and what he, and knowing what he did, you're saying, here's clips of why Chris Benoit eventually did what he did.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason why they don't show it is because...
Jordan, you're tightening your grip there. You look like I struck a chord there.
You go ahead.
I believe the only reason they don't show it is because they don't want to make themselves to be out the villains, even though they are.
Yes.
That's the only reason.
With that.
Only reason they don't show or even talk about it.
Well, because they know that it's...
Which but is again, sad because the man... Go ahead.
You can't take away, again, what he did. You can't take away him and Eddie holding up the belts.
Yeah, you can't erase Chris Benoit from history.
No, you can't. And I think there's a happy medium, though. Well, not a happy medium at all, but like there's an in-between point to complete revisionist history. He was never with the company. We don't know who, you know, vacant won the championship against Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And there's a whole difference between that and, okay, this is Chris Benoit. Here's all of his stuff. Let's watch it. Let's promote it. You know, he was one of the greatest in-ring performers.
Right. They're never going to make a DVD for it.
They could do a kind of like, if you go back and watch some of those old, like, re-released, like, Looney Tune episodes, they have a disclaimer at the beginning. Like, this was made in a completely different time.
This is racist.
You are going to see some really terrible things.
Yeah.
But here, it's part of our history. We're not going to deny it. They could do something like, you know, we understand that the evil acts that Chris Benoit did, you know, no one's trying to overshadow that, but he did play a part in our history.
Yeah.
This is that.
And, you know, it's, to me, Tanner might get this unless you, you know, watch sports. It's kind of like the Pete Rose effect kind of thing. Where if you got, you know, Pete Rose.
Yeah. Banned from the Hall of Fame because of betting.
Betting while he was a manager, not as a player, but he should have been the Hall of Fame for a player. It's the same thing with Chris Benoit. Yes, he was a wrestler at the time when this happened. But that doesn't, from what he did outside the ring, which we all agree was horrific. And
terrible, absolutely. Yeah.
But what he did in the ring is a totally different thing from his outside life.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Asa, you and I have that argument with Hulk Hogan. You hate Hulk Hogan, but I like
the man and the character.
Yeah.
Loudly and proudly.
But I like to differentiate the person from the character because wrestling, Hulk Hogan is wrestling to a lot of people. You can't take that away. The man, despicable in a lot of ways, greedy, manipulative. But Hulk Hogan, the character, the guy that's ripping his shirt off and saying, eat your prayers.
Say your prayer and eat your vitamins.
Take your vitamins, that guy's gold. He's a wrestling icon. He's a legend. You can't take that away from him. Just because the person is evil doesn't mean the character is bad. It's like if...
I can say that the character is bad because it's a terrible character.
How can you ever say Hulk Hogan is a terrible character?
I would like to add...
speaking here... Oh, sorry. You want to go ahead?
All right. I would like to add that the character that you hate so much started in the 80s and has not evolved.
Right.
It doesn't have to evolve.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Evolved into the NWO, biggest angle in wrestling history. You know, Hulk Hogan, like, I don't understand Hulk Hogan hate. Is he a great wrestler? No. Is he a good wrestler? Borderline. Is he average? Yes. But in a sport where everything is scripted and how good you are in the ring doesn't matter versus how much money you can make, Hulk Hogan is better than Chris Benoit.
Great at making money because he puts himself in these situations. You'll even admit that. His character probably could have fizzled out very quickly, but he didn't even give it a chance to. He never, like, oh, this person could, I could make, we could make a lot of money with this kid. Steve Austin, he'll never be, let me win.
But
let's let him go.
But I think you're taking away something from the fans there because the fans can make or break somebody. You can push somebody to the moon.
No, and that's I get
Roman
that.
Roman Reigns.
That's fine.
Roman Reigns, exactly.
No, I get that, and that's fine. And have I ever once called you stupid or anything because you like Hulk Hogan?
You've called me stupid.
Because you like Hulk. No, and I'm not going to take that away from you. I'm going to.
I want to make a point because we were talking about WWE never making a DVD about seeing about Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Kaylee's over here, and she sent me a thing from Bleacher Report, but it's two years back. They actually are. Somebody is actually making a film.
Oh no! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, but this
Crossface.
But this is not a WWE
thing.
No,
it's somebody else. But there will be.
And this is the story of the murders.
They're talking about like a WWE best of. Look at all these matches. That
they'll never say here's the Benoit collection.
But it's about the span of his career and everything
that leads up to the killings. Yeah,
I just.
Would you watch that movie?
I would, because they say they're gonna.
I would. I think it'd be interesting.
They're gonna look at the negatives and positives.
It's just because like he was mentally ill and and I kind of have a thing with like mental illness is kind of a sore spot for me. So I don't know.
It make you uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes. Like,
and plus you don't want
to promote knowing,
that.
And it's still like to me even now, like when I see a really bad like bump, like or really cool, like that Big Show, like potentially going off the top turnbuckle to the outside through those
scary
two tables.
Shit.
Like, that scares me because like we know. In the last 20 years of wrestling, we know so much more about what this is doing to these people.
Yeah.
And to me, it's still, like, the other day, a Red Hot Chili Peppers song came on. And I felt like a little twinge of like, you were real fucked up on heroin when you did this.
Yeah. And
it made, and it's like.
What movie?
No, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh.
And it's just like, I don't know why. Like, I don't know.
I think as fans, and God, we're going to get back to the match. I swear, guys.
Show.
But I just want to make this point. As fans, we grew up thinking wrestling was real. When you're young, the first thing you think is wrestling is real, right? As you get older, you realize wrestling's fake. Well, it's scripted, you know? So when you see people take chair shots to the head, even though you know it's real, you think, okay, this is scripted. Like people go, it's fake, right? But then as you become a bigger fan and you respect the business more, you start to realize, okay, that was scripted.
Right.
But that still is dangerous.
Yeah. I don't know how many times I know it's scripted. I know this isn't real, but my God, that looked like it hurt.
It makes you so angry as a kid growing up too. People are like, oh, you watched that fake shit. I'm like, motherfucker, let me drop you.
It makes me madder now.
On a fucking chair.
Like some people at work will be like I mentioned, like, oh, I'm going to watch wrestling tonight.
Why?
Really? Like, you know, the thing is like, and I think it was on that wrestling isn't wrestling, like the, you know, it's fake, right? It's like, yeah, what are you going to watch tonight? Game of Thrones?
Jordan, you're pointing. Is that what you were going for?
I love that.
That historical documentary, Game of Thrones.
I always go, do you like movies? Do you watch movies? Well, they're fucking fake too. It's it's my fucking argument. It's I just like this.
I love it. It's like, hey, Shane, I'm going to hit you with this chair, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What? Wait, what?
Yeah. Well, I think, Beyond the Mat, which you still need to watch.
Hastings still doesn't have it. I check every day.
I saw a review by Roger Ebert. I believe it was Roger Ebert. And you never think Roger Ebert would never love wrestling, obviously. But he said he didn't realize until he watched that documentary that just because you say you hit somebody, you know, in a fake sport, you hit somebody in the face with a chair, even if I told you it was going to happen, it's still going to hurt.
Right.
You know? But let's bring this back in. Let's rope this back
in. Full circle.
Yeah, full circle back to Rollins versus Orton. God damn, there are so many more interesting things to talk about than this match.
The show was
this show kind of was it was an average show, absolutely. just a quick thing, Rollins wins, he retains the title, Kane turned on both, Kane gets laid out.
The Vigilante Kane.
Gatekeeper Kane.
Probably gonna be a triple threat in the next match. The show overall was just okay. What do you
but
got?
We all expected it coming.
We all expected it to
be
okay.
We didn't leave Matt or Hanger,
this was probably the first wrestling show other than WrestleMania, because we were all excited when Rollins won. This is the first show we've left not angry. Because every time we finish a pay-per-view, we're always like, fucking bullshit!
I don't know if we'd say that we were angry, we just expected everything.
Yeah, and this we expected nothing.
Except for New Day winning.
Yeah.
Oh, New Day winning.
Like, we all made predictions throughout the entire show, and for the most part,
I don't think anyone.
Some of them were like eerily spot on.
Mm-hmm. Most of them were spot on.
But until New Day.
Thank God for New Day.
Until New Day, they were the second match.
Explain something to me.
Yes.
Okay. Completely not, well, kind of about the match. I've heard two things. One, that WWE is not letting Seth Rollins use his curb stomp anymore. The second thing I've heard is that they just want to give him a new finisher.
I think what it is they're trying to portray Seth Rollins more like Randy Orton, where Randy Orton has the punt as a last ditch. I'm going to get in trouble if I use this move. They're making it as dangerous as the punt. So now Rollins has a regular finisher, but at some point, months down the line, he'll pull out the curb stomp and everybody go, oh shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's because it's such a dangerous move. It causes a lot of concussions and you can see like little kids
Not hurt anyone doing it. Like he does it the safest way possible. Yeah. I thought it was strictly just because they're like, little kids are going to start like curb stomping. their siblings on hotel bedrooms.
You see second graders down the hallway.
Like one's just sleeping and they just go up and jump on his head. Like I can see some kid doing that.
Yeah, because kids are stupid.
But I see moves in the WWE that are 100 times worse than that.
But I think they want to try, like they said that it looks vicious. They say they're trying to make it safer because even though you see like when Randy Orton got put back out Survivor Series, he took the curb stomp off the thing onto his head. Even though we don't know if he slammed it, like it looked really real. He got blooded up and got a concussion from it. They're trying to be more safer and get away from that, try to protect their wrestling, because a lot of people miss Randy Orton. He was out for a long time.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to keep the overall safety of all their wrestlers up to date.
Well, and I think, like Tanner said, there are a lot of more moves that are more dangerous looking than that. Agree, yeah. They've banned the pile driver.
Yeah.
Because the pile driver, basic move, everybody does it, right? But look at Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
Owen Hart missed it by 2 inches and nearly killed him. They stopped doing the tombstone, except for The Undertaker, obviously.
And Kane every once in a while.
I always thought that wasn't because it was a banned move. That was just, that's The Undertaker's move. Don't do it.
I think it works for them because they're so much taller than everybody.
And if you're going to put your body on the line for somebody, it's probably going to be The Undertaker because you know that man knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Unless he's fighting Brock Lesnar and has a concussion.
Now, but I want to have some final thoughts here from you guys on the show. But before we do that, since you brought this up, I'm just curious. What is the one move in wrestling that you saw and went, holy shit, how do they do that without killing somebody? Zach, you go first.
The first one popped in my head was the Brainbuster.
The Brainbuster?
Because I was watching, before the Extreme Rules started, there was actually a video from 2010, 2009 Extreme Rules. It was like John Cena and John Morrison versus somebody else, and they were suplexing somebody off the top rope, but it went to a full-on Brainbuster. And, like, that just seems like a really dangerous
could break their neck really easily.
Oh, yeah. It's like a pile driver, except you're holding them in a suplex position.
Yeah, you've got less of a grip on them than if you're holding them like this, you know?
So, like, Austin Aries does it super well.
Mm-hmm.
And it just...
Most indie moves, to me, are dangerous, you know?
Or like the package pile driver.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some crazy stuff there. But, oh, go ahead. Zach,
no, fine, I'm done.
The one that
immediately popped to my mind was the vertebraker.
God damn, that's the one I was going to say, too.
Which one is that again?
That is the Hurricane Helm.
It's Homicide's. Well, Homicide used it. It's
the Gringo Killer.
You're still losing me.
It's kind of set up similar to the Christian's End Prettier, except so your arms are hooked, but then I would be like upside down.
I would be upside down on the guy's back and then drop you like on your spine.
Oh
my god! While
your arms are like pulled
like
straight.
The Victoria move, the Widowmaker.
No, this one, it's...
No, that one, that's her head.
She holds
her,
the neck,
it's like,
though.
Yeah,
still.
And then your
yeah,
the back
but,
of their
this,
head.
The way, like, if I was just standing here like this, your arms would be hooked, your neck would be facing down, and then they just drop you backwards. Every time I saw that move, I wondered, how do they do this without really fucking somebody's vertebrae up? I mean, that's why it's called a vertebraker. It's like a goddamn x-ray for Mortal Kombat, you know? I can see it going into slow motion, and you see inside their spine shattering. It's ridiculous. I 100% agree with Asa. He stole mine. Jordan, go ahead.
I really can't think of one right now.
Old school.
I got nothing.
Old school Pedigree.
Pedigree was
that
pretty
actually
bad.
The one that
people. Seth,
the one that Randy Orton did tonight.
That was pretty good. That was like an old school one.
But back in the day, Triple H used to go head first. Like, their feet would still be in the air. He actually, 3 people broke their neck and actually went to the hospital and died later from it.
I'm going to check that statistic. Before we get in trouble with the WWE law, Tanner, go ahead.
I'm going old fashioned, the DDT.
DDT is pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
There's a reason it was so devastating. And now it's a basic move.
So do you think it's your go-to finisher for
15 years from now, will people be doing, like
450 splashes
as a regular move or the RKO was just, oh God.
Chair shots are everywhere.
I mean, you have to be
chair shots
highly trained
one.
To be able to do that without hurting somebody. I would think so.
Like Neville.
Well, no, that's not true, Tanner. That's not true because when I was in college, me and the gang, we used to backyard wrestle and our first match we did, 90% of the moves were DDTs because that's all we knew how to do. So every time somebody got up, it was a variation of the DDT.
I took a DDT one time on the ground and knocked me out.
I gave my friend,
shit's not fun.
My friend Jerome, I gave him a Scorpion Death Drop and he sold it so well, I almost called his mom because I thought I had killed him.
So what's your backup then?
Oh yeah,
since I saw
other than the vertebraker?
Yeah.
I'd have to think about
Hogan's
it.
Leg drops.
I think anything Kevin Owens does.
Motherfucker!
No. Every time before Kevin Owens came into the NXT, because he's gotten better.
If you ever watch
YouTube, he has like 100 of his craziest moves,
and
that shit looks scary.
His moves are so dangerous, and so far no one's gotten seriously hurt. But I the smallest slip up, and I think Kevin Owens will kill somebody.
To me, I don't think that they're actually as dangerous as he's able to make them look.
And if that's true, then that really speaks as his ability as a performer.
The majority of the times he's hit his package pile driver. it looks incredibly safe because he's fairly, like, I'm leaning away from the mic, sorry.
Okay.
He's, like, leaned back, and so a lot of the impact is they're, like, the top half of them is landing onto him instead of just straight onto the mat.
Which is
still, like, the WWE will never let him use that, right. I'm sure, but.
And even though I can't think of anything specifically because I don't know the names of them, watch any Best of CZW video. Because the moves they pull off in that, there's a reason that everyone says indie wrestling, or not everyone, but a lot of people think that indie wrestling is kind of garbage because it's so dangerous. And you wonder why does this guy work differently when he gets to WWE than when he's on the indies? It's because the WWE works a safer style.
Yeah.
They will not let you do the stuff that you do on the indies because they don't want someone to fucking die.
Well, and that's why, like, everyone was always up in arms, like, oh, Daniel Bryan and Finn Balor and, Hideo Itami, like, they have to spend, they're ready for the main roster. They can, you know, there's
right,
no reason.
Right.
Which, to an extent, like, Finn Balor is a star. Like, yeah. Anytime you watch him on NXT,
he's already made. Yeah.
He's there. But they really need to incorporate the WWE style because they aren't able to just do, like, what they did in Japan or.
And here's a point I want to leave you with before we wrap this up.
Well, can I make one point on the Seth Rollins match
that
I really enjoyed?
Go ahead.
I don't think anyone really noticed. Kane chokeslams Randy Orton. Kane chokeslams Seth Rollins, pulls Rollins onto Orton. That seems like it's going to be the end of the match. Kane helps him win.
Right.
Orton kicks out. Seth Rollins hits Randy Orton with the RKO and pins him from that. Sure, it's off of a distraction.
Well, he didn't pin him. He got out. He escaped.
Oh, he did. Well, he did escape. But, well, he hits the RKO and is able to escape. He didn't, you know, it came kind of off a distraction, but I think that made him look a lot stronger than if he would have just won after Kane's finisher. He was able to turn around, hit the RKO, able to escape.
Yeah. So I agree with that.
I thought that made him look a little bit more.
And it fits in with his character.
Yeah.
It definitely fits in with the character. All over average.
Totally worth it.
Average show. Good. Not a bad show. Not a great show. Curious to see what they do with Payback. But we'll be here to watch it and we'll let you guys know how it went. I do want to make this final point again. I feel it's a good point. I want to take it back to Hulk Hogan. Okay. No, hear me out.
We gotta bring up Scott Steiner then.
Our fat ass of the week. We'll end with that.
Do you have one in mind?
No.
Did we make that decision?
Not yet. But Hulk Hogan. All right.
Hulk Hogan's the fat ass of the week. No. Here's why.
Take somebody like Kevin Owens. Take somebody like Finn Balor. You said, are they ready to go up to the main roster? They're ready for the main roster. That stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those guys, when they're on the indies, they do the most dangerous moves to get over, to get the crowd pop, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hulk Hogan is a guy who never jumped off the, no, listen to me, because this is a good point. He never jumped off the top rope. He never put himself in a position to be hurt dangerously, right?
The motherfucker couldn't get to the top rope. His life
and on you know him. Why? Because he didn't have to.
Because he fucking could.
No, okay, Hulk Hogan has made more money in this business.
Instead of Zach just getting fully blind, angry, and yelling.
Do you see where I'm going with this, Asa?
I do, but I will say that at the time that Hulk Hogan was getting over and was over, no one was going to the top rope.
Macho Man?
That wasn't Hogan had already been established at this point.
I'll give you that. But I'm saying.
He wasn't doing things that, but you know what else? Macho Man didn't have to do a 450 splash to get over. He just dropped an elbow.
He did.
Wrestling is constantly evolving. People are just bloodthirsty and they need to see crazier and crazier stuff.
John Cena.
It's like you said, in 10 years, we're looking at,
John Cena.
Which makes
has never
top
gone,
leg drop.
Never gone through a barbed wire, light bulb match. These exist.
His match with JBL. I don't remember what pay-per-view.
I don't remember that one.
It was, he had a bloodbath with JBL.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think that
he has gone through those kind of matches.
If used correctly, that stuff can be really good. It's like if somebody that doesn't cuss a lot says the F word, it means more than Zach fucking throwing the F fucking word every five fucking seconds. But what I'm saying is these indie wrestlers that do all of these dangerous things just to get attention, there's something missing from them that stops them from becoming stars who don't have to do the same stuff to get over.
Okay, well, I'll counter that point with this point.
This podcast is never
Finn Balor. So Finn Balor in NXT.
What is up at an hour 30?
So, okay, so when Finn Balor was Prince Devitt in New Japan and wrestled on the indies, he didn't really do a lot of that crazy.
No, he didn't. Finn Balor's good is a good example.
Neither really did Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen had a lot of super hardcore matches, but that was just kind of more of the style that he wanted to work.
Yeah.
But now that Finn Balor is in NXT and he's getting these insane, the entire arena is doing the pose with his entrance.
It's amazing.
what has he done in NXT that you would say is super crazy flashy that he's had to rely on to get over? Or is it just him as an athlete and as a character?
I think it's him as an athlete and as a character, but I also think part of it is because NXT.
The demon face paint?
Well, and side note, I wish he could do the Marvel stuff, cause some of his,
I'm holding out hope that once he gets on the main roster, like, he'll do like a Rey Mysterio and his like WrestleMania or like big pay-per-view
inspired.
Cause Rey Mysterio was always, some sort of.
But I, to your point, I think that a lot of NXT fans are hardcore wrestling fans.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So when Finn Balor goes to the main roster, if he stays the way he is, would he get the same reactions as he does in NXT is the question.
I think if they present him in a way that they, like, if they present him the same way that they've presented him in NXT, absolutely.
If they do.
He
but,
has.
But
some,
as you know,
oh,
Vince's,
no, yeah, it's a
Vince's
huge
vision and Triple H's vision are clearly different.
Right.
All right. We got to wrap this up, guys, because we're hitting at an hour 30. That's actually a fairly decent time, but way longer than I wanted to go. It was a good show. We're looking forward to Payback. I want to thank you guys so much for coming on here and talking about this with me. Five people, and so far it seems like it went pretty well. We almost had six, but Jesse Kimball had to go home and play with his pussy. Cat.
I love
Cat,
you.
Cat, his kitten.
Jesse is one half of my J&J security along
no,
with Mr. Jordan
Robert.
No,
you know what I think it is, Zach? I think he was scared of you.
Oh, that motherfucker was scared
he
of me.
He was scared of
you. I
called that motherfucker out and he didn't want to stay and have
he,
a fucking show with
he
me.
He walked off. Instead of standing and fighting, he left.
You fucking pussy.
I guess Pen and Nerd
I love you, Jesse.
Doesn't have the balls.
I also love you, Jesse.
Next time, Jesse, you want to come up here and call me out on my fucking show, then I call you out and you don't want to step up to the plate.
Jesse, I love you too. Please don't be mad at me.
I'm going to go, fuck you, Jesse.
Hey, we're going to fire Zach, and you can be on
Zach's going to be gone soon.
With tears that are soaked.
Goddamn, stop that. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Sorry it went so long, but I hope you enjoyed all the yelling and banter. And we don't have another show booked for a while. Zach, we're going to talk about depression soon.
I think we should do a fantasy booking one.
We are doing fantasy booking with Hunter, and I will let you know when it is if you want to get in on that.
I absolutely do, because I have one.
And
that
Jordan, you want in on that, too? All right, I'll let you guys know when we're doing
and
that.
Mine doesn't even involve CM Punk.
Bullshit.
Mine doesn't either, but I only got
mine
so far.
Mine involves Zack Ryder. Anyway.
Who will never get over?
You want
to
do it tomorrow?
We'll try to do it tomorrow. Yeah, we'll try to figure out time. But the next show, because Quick mentioned the kid from Everybody Loves Raymond committed suicide just a couple days ago.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the youngest kid committed suicide a couple days ago.
They were twins.
It was one of the twins.
He was like 19.
Yeah, going on 20. His birthday was like a week away.
May 12th.
He killed himself, probably depression, and depression is something that I have suffered through quite a bit. Anybody that knows me knows I was on antidepressants recently because it gets really bad. Zach, I know you've also struggled with it, so that's something I want to talk about. So we'll talk about that. It's not a happy show, but hopefully we'll help some people out. We will see you guys then. Thank you so much. You guys want to say goodnight. I'll let you take it.
Good night, Jesse suck it.
I love you, Jesse.
Bye, guys.
Pit Nerd's kind of awesome.
Fuck you, Tanner. Goodbye, guys.